I've been thinking where all the guys got their sources. Mine comes, it's from the Word of God, some of my own thoughts, and this first part's from Reader's Digest. So, there's three of these. They all have a common theme. Guy wrote in, said, "My father began teaching business classes at the local prison through a community college. And on his first night of class, he started a chapter on banking, and in the course of the lecture, the subject of ATM machines comes up, and he mentions, on average, most machines only contain about $1,500 at any given time." So the guy in the back raised his hand and said, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but the machine I robbed had about 5,000 in it. Lois Henry from Farmington, Maine shared this. She said, "I recently ran into an old student of mine who said, 'I always liked you. You didn't have any favorites. You were mean to everybody.'" During our computer class, the teacher was chastising a boy for talking to the girl sitting next to him. I was just asking her a question. "Well, if you have a question, you ask me. You don't need to talk to her. You ask me." "Okay, do you want to go out with me Friday night?" The common denominator there being teachers, classrooms, learning, education. You know, we're making our way, beginning of this year, through this as our partnership series. You know, come partner with us, and we're going down the left side and the congregational commitments, and we come to this third one, which we said as a church family, we collectively agree. We want to provide what we'll call study communities, which are what? You know, classes, meetings, groups, times, ways, opportunities for disciples to study the Bible. And especially in a group setting where you can get that benefit from fellow students and input and wisdom and experience and clarifications. And I don't know what you've heard or read like out there, but in here, we remain convinced that it's important to study God's Word. You know? And I understand that some of us might have family, you know, you might have coworkers or neighbors or folks who might attend a church and they don't bother with any form of groups or Sunday school or youth groups, and they certainly don't take time to come back on Sunday night. And I don't know, maybe it's crossed your mind, man, that might be kind of nice. You know, you could attend a church where there's like an hour expectation and then you're free for the rest of the week. No, maybe that'd be better. No. And I was trying to think this through. I appreciate somebody would try to counter me and say, hey, you know, I really learn a lot from the sermons on Sunday. Well, praise God for that and give him the glory, but one sermon a week is not going to be enough to mature any disciple. You know, 30 minutes out of 168 hours isn't sufficient, even if you're hearing it from somebody who's far more capable than I am. So we've written this in. You know, part of our partnership agreement, we want to continue. We will invest in resources and meetings and providing the best quality Christian education that we can. And Paul's words to Timothy support his indication, his belief. Teaching's important. Learning. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. I'm not providing you the page number of this time. It's what we said a couple weeks ago. You know, we need at least be able to find where are these. Do I know, you know, 2 Timothy's close to the end of the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to read first verse 15. 2 Timothy 2:15. "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth." This book is powerful. It can cut to the heart. It has answers for eternity. Do I feel like I can correctly interpret the Bible? Am I growing in that ability? And I would venture, somebody who's had, if you had training in the Bible, you might be looking at this verse and say, well, hold on there just a minute, preacher, because that's for you. You know, that verse, that's Paul telling Timothy. It's like the veteran teacher telling the student teacher who's interning in her classroom, what to do. That's for you so that you handle it correctly so you can just tell us, right? Well, that's a valid possibility. But keep reading with me in chapter 3, verse 10. You, however, 2 Timothy 3:10, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. Well, here's Paul saying, there's my life. You know, my life, open book. No. In fact, verse 12, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And you can just look outside, look around us, you see that in culture every day. But as for you, verse 14, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. And how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you hear anything in there about teaching? I do. And it's not just for preachers, it's not just for doctors of theology. That's for all of us. What have I learned about the Bible? Have you had the privilege of being exposed to the scriptures since infancy? Have you had a Eunice or a Lois, a parent, a grandparent who's taught you the Bible since you were little? And I would venture, probably nobody in the room, we're all going to say, I don't feel thoroughly equipped for every, I get that. But do I feel a little more equipped? Do I feel a little more equipped this year than I was this time last year? You walk in the lobby now, you see an AED machine in a case right next to trauma kits that are ready. And I pray we never have to open either one of those boxes. But we are more equipped this point than we were even a few months ago. We're going to keep teaching the Bible. You look down one more chapter, chapter 4, 1 and 2. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. We do not care if somebody's going to try to suggest that Christian education is officially out of season. You know, we're going to do everything we can to keep teaching the Bible. And you can see on the outline, like the majority of the time that we have left, why? This is my apologetic, my defense. Why would you put so much effort into trying to share the word? The first one is it's the desire of God. God wants us to grow in this. You know, the text says all scripture is God-breathed. God did not waste his time inspiring all these words. He didn't have a page count or a word count that he had to fill. That it is all worthwhile. And the Apostle Paul, our author, he would take every advantage that he had to teach people the word. Acts 18:11, he's staying in the city of Corinth. So Paul stayed for a year and a half teaching them the word of God. How many times was Jesus addressed as Rabboni, teacher, master? People always looked to him as an educator. Disciples and opponents alike addressed him as an instructor. And I'm not going to take the time to go through all 242 times that my text uses the word teach. And we could look at 108 times when it talks about the word learn. Suffice it to say that God wants us to grow in our knowledge of his word. And he expects it. If you flip over to Hebrews 5, and the teachers in our midst can identify as an instructor who's a bit frustrated that the students aren't getting it. Hebrews 5:11. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you're slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Is there any, and this is not bragging, but is there some area in your life where you feel experienced? I feel mature, knowledgeable. Well, I ask myself this, do I know more about photography or fishing than I do the Bible? You know, how much do I use them? The more I use a fishing pole or a camera, the more competent I become in using them. You know, we've talked about this. Denise said maybe one of her fears is that she would be remembered solely as the koala lady. You know, she's like, I hope people would remember me for something about the Bible as well as just marsupials. You know? And I mean, that's a moment of honest self-reflection. Do I feel, am I growing in my capability with the Bible? God wants that. Hebrews 6, the first verse said, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings. They want to move on. You know, so as a church family, we want every disciple to be able to grow and mature in their own faith as God wants, as God desires, so we will try to offer a class or a group or an opportunity to learn. You know? Second rationale on this list, if you look around, we see culture is drifting without scriptural guideline. What is happening in the lives of our loved ones, our neighbors, our coworkers? That you know people who are trying to navigate life without the Bible. And what is happening to a society as it pulls further and further away from the moorings of God's word? In 2 Timothy 3:13, who's out there? Evil men, imposters, what are they doing? Deceiving, being deceived, going from bad to worse. And what are some of the results? The American Psychological Association is citing a CDC bulletin. Suicide rates in the United States have increased 33% from 1999 through 2017. Claire McCarthy is an MD who was writing for HealthyChildren.org last November. Anxiety in teens is rising. What's going on? Gender and sexuality struggles, greed and debt and financial issues, political acrimony, abuse, infant, I don't want to depress anybody any further, you know, we could go on, right? Struggles surround us. Society does not need any more name calling. We don't need more arguing and blaming. What we need is something that can stem the tide. And society wants to be very quick to jettison the scripture. They keep trying to convince us that the Bible is out of season. And some of them would even say, I'm all for education, intelligence, that's fine, schooling. Just, you don't need to mix the Bible with it. To which C.S. Lewis very wisely responded, education without values, as useful as it is, seems rather to make man a more clever devil. 1 Corinthians 8:1 said, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And that's like the gloom and doom part. I'm bringing it all right to my front door. What can I do? What do I do about that? When it is my coworker who is confused, when it is my friend who is frightened, when it is my loved one who's lonely, what can I do? How can I help them? Do I know where to look? Do I know where I can look in the Bible? If I know all scripture is God-breathed and it's useful and it's helpful, can I find it? Here's the third one. Studying the Bible is a worthy lifelong pursuit. I'm glad that Chris and Nisha can be with us this morning. We were in college together. Made me think of those days. We had two options for phys ed, if you will. Team sports and lifetime sports. And what's the difference? Lifetime sports is a polite way to describe all those sports that you can still play when you are too old for anyone to pick you for a team sport. That's pretty much how that goes. All these team sports that we follow, right? They are dominated by whom? The younger, faster, stronger, and you see people who age out. We had open gym last night, played basketball. I pick the teams because I will never be the first one picked if I don't do that. You know, they have to let me play because I'm the guy with the key. You know, it's like we lined up by age and I was at the beginning of the line and the next guy was Derek. So that'll tell you how far out of my ability I just crack up, because in basketball league, I'm the old guy. But in the golf league, I still hit from the young man's tees. You know, see, that's the difference. What do you have in life? What has been worthy of a lifetime investment? And one that's not going to be derailed by aging. I'm trying to grasp the struggle that Luke, I think it's Keachley, is how you say his last name? This young man's a linebacker, and he just retired from the National Football League at age 28. presumably with millions, because he left 20 million on the table. Said, I'm done. Thank you. I have enough. And he cried during the press report. And I can see some of our money-focused culture going, why is that guy crying? Got millions. 28. Healthy. Still healthy. 29. You know, that's why he's retiring early. He's happy. He's healthy. He's got all of life before him. What in the world's he got to cry about? He lost something that he loves. And all of his reasons for quitting football make perfect sense, but he knows he has to give up something he loves. These are his words. It makes me sad because I've played this game since I was a little kid, and it's my favorite thing in the world to do. And he knows he doesn't get to do that any longer. And that happens to how many realms, how many people. Have you ever had to let go of some passion? And how does that feel? And that doesn't have to happen when it comes to me studying and learning the Bible. We are never going to come to you in class and politely say, it's time for you to retire. We need your chair. You're going to be welcome throughout. All of us can be learning for our life. Paul's telling Timothy in chapter 3, you know me. You know my life. You know how much I've invested in the truth, how it is applied, how it has carried me. Time that is invested in the Word of God lasts me into eternity. And there are how many people out there, they want to be engaged, they want to be involved, they want to be a part of something that will make a difference in the world, especially something that will last and change, and this is the only thing that lasts. And 1 Peter 1:24, all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord stands forever. And I will take a moment here to understand. I know we are asking you to keep working. It is effort. And if somebody has studied enough of the Bible, you can throw Ecclesiastes 12:12 up in my face. You know, Solomon studied a lot. You know what he thought? There it is. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study wearies the body. And I understand what you're saying, and that is valid. But when it's all said and done, are you even going to take this body with you? No, we're not. No. And the very next verse would say this. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I know this is a big ask of people. This can be hard. You know, we're asking you to devote time. We're asking you to give up time from other very worthy pursuits to spend time in the Bible, and I'm going to apologize for that. Aristotle said it, how far back? The roots of education are bitter, but the fruit is sweet. Study is hard. Good study is really hard. But if you know that the end of your study is Jesus, do you really have any better motivation? Proverbs 18:15 says this in the New International, the heart of the discerning acquires knowledge. The ears of the wise seek it out. I looked it up in the Message. Wise men and women are always learning, always listening for fresh insights. In the contemporary English, everyone with good sense wants to learn. We have the most powerful motivator possible to be the most educated people possible. You know, it is worthy of my pursuit every day of my life. So the church wants to continue to provide what we can to encourage all of us to learn the Word of God. And the last one, the fourth one in that list, is that every household needs Christian education. When did Timothy start learning the Bible? Infancy. As soon as he could reach these lowest shelves on the slat wall from the library out there in the foyer. You've seen. Sharon does a masterful job as a librarian. And what do you see on the lowest shelves? Colorful picture books. And I've even seen, I sat down a couple times on the floor, when the youngest in the room go and take a book and they start to read. From infancy, every household needs a Lois or a Eunice. And if you did not have that privilege growing up, be one now. Be those parents or grandparents, neighbors, teachers. And this is the thing, at the core, our passion for Christian education, it's not necessarily what happens in these four walls. It's what happens in every household. All we want to do here is just equip the family or the disciple to go home or to be in the office and share and study and teach your family. And when you look at the partnership, we go down the right side. The very first thing is going to be leading my family. Deuteronomy 6:5, we use it all the time. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. That's going to take way more investment than 30 minutes. That's 24/7 every day. Ephesians 6:4 we use, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And I like this. A little boy asks his dad, Dad, why does the wind blow? And dad said, you know, son, I don't really know. Dad, do you know how the clouds form? No, son, I'm not sure. Dad, what makes a rainbow? Yeah, I don't really have any idea. Dad, do you mind me asking you all these questions? Well, not at all, son. How else are you going to learn? And I don't share this. You've seen this next picture before, and we all know God can do anything at any point in anybody's life. But our own statistics bore out the truth of what was shared. When do most people come to Christ? When we said, how old were you when you were immersed? And there's 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. You know. Teresa Welch, Christian Standard, last December. From birth to age 13, children quickly develop, both cognitively and spiritually. These years are when you learn the most. The framework upon which we understand ourselves, relationships, the world, and God is formed by the time you become a teenager. Childhood is the church's best opportunity to help create a lifelong disciple, which is obvious, right? For a lifetime, you need children. You know who else knows this? The devil knows this, right? Who is convinced, if I could just get the kids to think the scriptures are unimportant, do I prioritize Bible awareness in the household? And you might get some battles. I understand it, and I think I can share this. I'm going to anyway. Our younger son told his mother, you know, now I'm glad there were those times when you guys made me go to youth group. He said, to be honest, there were some times I did not want to be there. I wanted to hang out with my friends. But now looking back, I see the value. And I understand different families operate differently. That's what I grew up. I grew up with a Sunday school class and a youth group and a midweek, and we went to Julie Miller's house on a Tuesday, I think. It worked for me. You know, I think what we've tried to do with the boys served them in the formative years, and it's not the only option. I get that. That's why I put down there at the bottom of the sermon outline, what are the opportunities? You know, there's no demand that any family in this room do it exactly the same way any other family does. But am I taking advantage of situations? And I was originally going to put, I was going to ask the question, can you test out of these? And if you notice, and I softened it up on the insert, the white page that you're looking at has the title that we'll go with because it's a little more friendly, you know. Isn't Sunday school kind of old fashioned? But initially I was going to sit here and say, you think you can test out of this? And I forgot to change it in the bulletin. You can see that I got both in there. I'll put 8 icons up on the screen. They are not in the correct order biblically from Genesis to Revelation. Work with your own there. Work in a family, team, neighbors. Can you put those in the right order from which comes first in the Bible, second, third, fourth, down to 8th? I'll give you a minute. Those 8 are taken from the Kingdom Kids, our Sunday night, our elementary group, the ongoing, when Emily switches it, that's the correct order. You know, those kids have 108 of those icons the Bible timeline, things that we're trying to focus on. And some of them have now been in the group long enough that they're going through. It's the exact same timeline. It's not going to change. Now for the second time around, that's the hope. Can I somehow help, encourage, contribute, give them a foundation where they go out from here knowing the Word of God? And I put that old green family devotional out there on the table. That's another test. It says Bible readings from home. I get, you understand, right? Youth group's a new thing, right? There haven't always been youth groups. There was no Sunday school before Robert Raikes invented it in 1780. And I understand, people still went to heaven before 1780, right? And there were a lot of times when families took care of it themselves, took it on themselves. And if you look through that big book, and that big green book was written in 1939, it has a whole bunch of topics. The origin of evil. It'll list scriptures and talk. Confession and forgiveness. Parables of Christ. Gifts of the Spirit, the judgment, patience, contentment, missionary work, selfishness, a happy home and how to make it. That one's page 709 if you want to go straight to that. And the very first lesson, page 1, is a lesson about the Bible. I personally appreciate youth groups, Sunday school meetings like that. You know, and if you aptly say, I tested out all that, it's not necessary for me. Understood, but sometimes your presence in the room is a big help to somebody else who might be struggling or feels alone or can't understand it and they need your input, interpret. That's a healthy benefit of all of our different groups. You share your life, you help each other, whether it's Sunday school class. And I understand, like, I think Christian ed can maybe mirror secular education. Some kids thrive in a public setting. Others are more suited for Christian school. Some do best in homeschool. Well, it's kind of the same thing with this. The biggest concern is not what room did you learn this in. Did you learn it? You know, and iron sharpens iron. It is good for me. I like to be around students of different generations, different viewpoints, life experiences. They help me. We help each other. Can I correctly handle the word? And you can come on Sunday morning. There are classes from birth to grave. You know. Sunday night, the youth groups, we have a sermon on Sunday night, midweek. The guys go down to Bob Evans on Saturday morning if you want to eat and study. The girls have been meeting here, and I think last Thursday, they said they had, I think, 12, you know, that studied first and third Thursdays. We put up right now media. That subscription's free to anybody. There's hundreds of opportunities, a variety of subjects. One of the moms on the creative team, she said, I like Hello Mornings, I think it was called. It's online, and you can get up and you study, you know, before the little ones get up, and then you post online, this is what I got from this, and it's a community of help. The library across the way, just filled with resources. You can check them out. Take them home. Use it in your most comfortable setting, on your couch with a comforter and your coffee. You know? And part of the, I'm trying to say, part of my offer should be, I'm not going to fuss about where you get it, as long as you get it. You know? And as long as you and yours are open to growing in the ability, and we know how to handle the Word of God, because I'm a little bit on the hook for that. You know, as are Bob and Mark and any elder that's ever shared in our church, Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. And everybody that's ever taught here in public knows James 3:1, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we teach will be judged more strictly. Well, studying the word is part of what all of us are called to do, so please help me, help you, help us study. We're never going to give up on trying to find opportunities for people to study the Bible. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for times, facilities, resources, people, family, friends, Christian siblings, people who have influenced and impacted, sometimes through an organized setting around a table with a TV, and sometimes just together in a boat while we're fishing and talking. But Father, we are mindful of times that we need to take advantage of to equip ourselves, to understand your word, to be able to just pour that out into others through our life, through our efforts, through our sacrifices, through the way we use our time. Father, especially for those who have that great blessing to be aware while there's time, especially in the home with the children, we pray that they would see the great potential and blessing that there is even in the sacrifice that comes along the way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.